This is Bill Leonard inside the Greek encampment at the mountain pass near Thermopylae. Here for two steaming summer days, a small force of Greek soldiers has held firm against the tremendous army of invading Persians led by their king Xerxes. Today, the fate of all Greece may hang in the balance, because if this pass is lost, then all Greece lies exposed to the invader. The question, how much longer the pass can be held, grows more urgent all the time. This third day may tell the story. It's no secret that Leonidas, king of Sparta, who leads the Greeks here at Thermopylae, has less than 7,000 soldiers in his command, including his 300 picked Spartan warriors. While it's generally known that there are more than 500,000 Persian invaders under Xerxes. The fighting yesterday and the day before, however,
August 480 B.C., the heroic band of 300 Spartans against the Persians at Thermopylae. You are there.
CBS takes you back 2,430 years to the Battle of Thermopylae in the crucial struggle between the Persian Empire and the Greek city-states. All things are as they were then, except for one thing. With all the modern facilities of radio present and CBS newsmen reporting from the scene,
you are there.
You are there is based on historical fact and quotation. And now,
August 480 BC, behind the Greek lines at Thermopylae and Bill Leonard.
These Greek soldiers are conceding nothing to the Persian invaders. Our CBS microphone has been set up on a knoll inside the Greek camp, and I have a clear view straight down the pass to the spot where yesterday and the day before the fighting was fiercest. Actually, the Greek War Council couldn't have selected a better position to defend. As I look toward the Persian camp, on my right is the sea, and on my left is the steep wall of Mount Oeta. The Persians have no choice. They cannot go into the sea, and they cannot go over the mountain. They must come straight through this narrow pass, and believe me, it's really narrow. Two dozen men standing shoulder to shoulder can block it completely. And for the last 2 days, that's exactly what the Greeks have been doing. Although how much longer they'll be able to hold out without the reinforcements they've been promised, well, that's in the lap of the gods. Away off to my right, far down the Melian Gulf, I can just make out some sails, purple and red, and there's a white sail. All Greek warships, triremes. Those ships out there must hold back the vast Persian fleet so that here at Thermopylae, Leonidas and his small force will not be outflanked. There was a bad nor'easter yesterday, which boiled down from the Hellespont, but today the water is calm again, and here in this Greek camp, it's pretty calm, too, for the moment. Everybody's waiting. Every battle is about 90% waiting, I guess. Hurry up and then wait. And now here comes half a dozen heavily armed Spartan hoplites on their way back from the pass. Maybe I can grab a soldier. Soldier.
Me?
Yes, yeah. Would you mind stepping over to the CBS microphone for just a moment?
It won't take long, will it?
No, no, not at all. But first, would you tell us your name, please?
I am Alexander, son of Peneleus.
Could you tell us what's going on down beyond the narrow part of the pass?
Nothing's going on. That's what?
No sign of any Persian activity? You know, we've been hearing them sound their battle horns up here.
After what we did to them yesterday, I'd say the barbarians were sitting in camp licking their wounds, scared.
And you and your comrades, you're not scared by the size of the Persian army?
Now, I'll tell you something. A lot of their army is cavalry. What good does cavalry do them?
Here inside this pass, you mean?
That's right. And even if they could all fight at once, we wouldn't get scared. Because what are they? Mercenaries, conscripts, far from home. Whereas now you take us. We're fighting for our homeland, see? And the rule by the freemen that we've got here in our city-states. And that's important to us.
Sure, but 500,000 against just a few thousand of your Greeks and only a few hundred of you Spartans.
Look here now. We'll fight them here and hold them here. But if the gods ordain that they break through, you know what? Wherever there's a Greek alive, he'll fight the Persian and keep on fighting. Till sooner or later, Xerxes and his whole army are running out of here a whole sight faster than they marched in. Look, I gotta go now. I'll see you around. Huh?
Thank you. Thank you very much, Alexander. Certainly it's true that the Persians suffered heavy losses in the fighting yesterday. And incidentally, all through this campaign, Xerxes has ignored the usual military security. He's apparently anxious to make known the impressive strength of his invading army, and perhaps for this reason, CBS got permission from the Persian Council of War to bring you direct radio reports from Xerxes' headquarters. Ned Kelmer is waiting now at his pickup point in Xerxes' camp. So come in, Ned Kelmer. I'm speaking from a point just a short distance from the royal enclosure. Officers have been busily throwing around Xerxes' imperial tent since before daybreak, and I understand an announcement is expected fairly soon from Hydarnes, who's captain of Xerxes' own picked bodyguard, the 10,000 Immortals. Nothing is known of the nature of this announcement as yet. From here on the high ground where I'm standing, I can see, spread out before me and along the foothills to my right, well, not all the Persian forces, but a great number of them, a crowded, teeming, polyglot camp gathered from every nation in Xerxes' mighty empire. To my right are the Medes and the Scythians, who took such a mauling in the fighting day before yesterday. Then the Assyrians, and next to them, the Bactrians. After them, the Caspians, whose favorite weapon is the curved scimitar. The Arabians. The Arabians have to camp farthest up the hill because the Persian horses are afraid of their camels. Below them, and to the left, are the Ethiopians, dressed in lion skins and leopard skins. From here, I can see their bodies smeared with chalk and vermilion. Then next along, the Numidians, whose helmets are the scalps of horses, complete with manes and ears. Next to them, the Libyans, then the Paphlagonians, farther along, the Thracians, and the warriors from India. The official claim is an army of 1,700,000 men, but a closer estimate would be about 500,000. There's still no announcement from Hydarnes, and no indication what that announcement will be, so until we get further word, we're going to return you now to Bill Leonard with the Greek army at Thermopylae. Here at Thermopylae, there's still an atmosphere of tension, of waiting for nobody knows what. The Greek command is still somewhat astonished to find the Persians have not tried another frontal attack on the pass. There's a growing suspicion here that Xerxes has some trick up his sleeve. Some Greeks think it may have something to do with that announcement from Hydarnes that Ned Kelmer just mentioned. Others think it may involve a fleet engagement. Larry Lesser is with the Greek fleet, and we'll hear from him later. Meanwhile, we take you to the CBS studios in Athens for a background analysis of this whole campaign by Quincy Howe. Come in, Quincy Howe.
Here in Athens, all citizens have turned their eyes north to the mountain pass at Thermopylae and to the sea off Artemision. For the third time in 12 years, the Persian Empire threatens the democratic but divided city-states of Greece, and this looks like the most serious threat of all. Disunity among the loose alliance of Greek city-states was still very strong as early as the spring of this year, not four moons ago. At that time, most Greek statesmen attributed the present Persian invasion to the Emperor Xerxes' desire for revenge against Athens, revenge for the defeat the Athenians inflicted on the Persians at Marathon 10 years back. And this impression gained strength from the now celebrated first prophecy of the priestess at the sacred Oracle of Delphi. CBS assigned Jack Walters to cover this event at that time, and here, by tape recording, is an excerpt from his eyewitness report at the Delphic Oracle.
The Athenian delegation has just completed the customary rites to Apollo. They're now taking their seats inside the sanctuary of the god. The acrid fumes rising out of the fissures in the rock are... Excuse me. Now the delegation is quieting. The smoke is beginning to clear. We can see the priestess, Aristoniki. She is leaning forward on her sacred tripod. She seems to be completely entranced. The Athenian delegation is...
Wretched!
The priestess speaks.
Why sit ye here? Nay to the end of creation, quitting your home and the crags which your city crowns with her surplus. All ruined and lost, fiery destruction, dark where horribly driven.
Leaders of the Peloponnesian states to the south, especially the ruling families of Sparta, feared the Athenians would take the oracle at its word and quit the country altogether. And these Spartans did not like to think where they would be left without the famous Athenian navy. To persuade the Athenians to stand and defend their homeland, Sparta persuaded Athens to implore a second prophecy from the priestess of Apollo. Indeed, it was even whispered in some quarters that the priestess of the oracle was herself urged to suggest a more patriotic course on the Athenians. A second Athenian delegation therefore went to Delphi, and here once more by tape recording is the significant part of that second prophecy.
All-seeing Zeus grants this to the prayers of Athena. Safe shall the wooden wall continue for thee and thy children.
According to Themistocles, who commands the Athenian warships off Artemisium, that wooden wall was the Athenian fleet. Well, this was an interpretation which the Spartan military leaders had, to put it mildly, hoped for all along. Anyway, a solid core of resistance began to develop. 20 days ago at the Isthmus, the decision to meet the Persian army at the Pass of Thermopylae was taken by the Greek War Council. And, tied in, of course, with that decision, is the strategy to meet and engage the Persian fleet in the waters north of the pass. Here in Athens, men still feel confident that the 7,000 soldiers under Leonidas will hold the pass at Thermopylae until reinforcements arrive. My understanding is that Sparta is marching a considerable body of heavily armed hoplites, together with a still larger number of light-armed helots, north to the pass just as soon as the Olympic Games and the Carnean Festival have ended. From this vantage point, it therefore appears that these reinforcements will reach Leonidas in time. Moreover, they may well prove decisive in the issue which approaches a showdown this very day, the issue of whether Greek civilization will survive. Now, back to Bill Leonard at Thermopylae.
The Greek camp here is in an uproar. Just a few minutes ago, a scout raced into this camp, as if pursued by the three Furies themselves, with the news that a force of Persians under Hydarnes is coming from behind, has outflanked the Greek position here at the pass, and is even now moving up to trap Leonidas and his men. We're trying to get King Leonidas over to our microphone to give us some idea of what counter move he plans. What's happened apparently is this. Last night, the Persians, some 2,000 of them, climbed over the mountain under cover of darkness, using a little-known mountain trail, and by a quick feint evaded the guard posted by Leonidas against just such a move. It's apparently a very narrow trail over these otherwise impassable mountains, and only Leonidas and a handful of others are supposed to have known about it. The talk here is that the Persians must have learned of it through a Greek traitor. Now, I see an emergency council of war, which has been going on among the Greek captains ever since the scout returned, is just breaking up. Yes, King Leonidas is coming over this way, so in just a moment we'll be able to ask him...
I have to make it very brief.
Yes, sir. If you would just tell us what your plans are now that the Persians are reported approaching from the rear. Have you issued orders to withdraw?
Withdraw? Certainly not. Why should we?
This sudden, unexpected move of the Persians.
The barbarians have had a very hard night. It's no easy climb for a man, you know, especially when he's wearing battle armor. 2,000 of them, we're told, and good and tired. There's no surprise in what we propose to do. Xerxes himself can know it about it. We're splitting our forces and sending a body of Arcadians to intercept Hydarnes. Over 3,000 of them. They ought to cut the barbarians to bits.
And you say to hold the pass?
Of course, of course. We'll be close to 3,000. Thespians, Thebans, our own helots, we 300 from Sparta. What more do we need? Now I must go. The gods be with you.
And with you, King Leonidas. Now, this Greek camp is alive with activity. The showdown with the Persians can be expected at any moment. And for a picture of what's happening in the camp of the invader, come in Ned Kalmer.
See if you'll come to the mic, will you? We've moved our equipment to the eastern gate of the Pass of Thermopylae, where the Persian is now mounting full-scale preparations for an all-out assault. Just before going on the air, we were making arrangements to have the Persian king, Xerxes himself, come to our CBS microphone, and I think we've managed to... Oh,
an interview?
Right over here, sire.
You remember that I spoke to...
King Xerxes, if you would just
certainly,
let us have a word.
Certainly delighted. We haven't much time.
Well, sire,
we'll make the most of what daylight is left to us. Don't think we'll need any more.
Sire, the word has come that your plans for surprising the Greeks from the rear have been successful. Is that correct?
So my scout informs me, yes. My Captain Hydarnes and 2,000 of my immortals should have control of the Greeks' escape route in a matter of moments.
Well, would you tell us, sire, how did it come about that you learned of this path over the mountain?
Well, now, I'm not sure I should
That's
tell you.
That's covered by military security, all that. It's restricted information.
Oh, now, come, Rambeses. It's not so important as all that. In another few days, we may make that man a district leader in these parts. I'll tell you, young man, I found out about the path when a Greek... A Malian, what was his name again?
Ephialtes, O king. Ephialtes, son of Eurydamas.
That's right. Ephialtes. Now, this Ephialtes, he came to my tent. We promised him a fine reward, too, if by any chance he comes through the fighting alive.
And it was he who guided your warriors over the pass?
Yes, that's right. Now, before the sun has slid very far down the sky, we'll be chewing those Spartan heroes and throwing them to the camels for fodder.
Sire, would you say that
the
Spartans...
young man, 12 days or so ago it was, my spies reported that there were 300 Greek soldiers sitting just outside their camp, combing and braiding their hair. I'm told that those were Spartans who were preparing to fight to the death. Seems that these Spartans always comb and braid their hair before they expect to die. Braiding it like a pack of so many girls.
Oh, king, live forever. You haven't much more time before you.
Of course.
Many thanks to you, sire, for your consideration. Well, that's the picture at the moment. Here in the Persian camp, all is jubilation as they prepare to mount what every man is convinced will be a final, glorious, victorious assault on the Greeks who've been holding the pass at Thermopylae. Meantime, as you know, the Greek fleet has been engaging Xerxes' warships off Artemisium out in the Malian Gulf. Larry Lesueur is aboard the Athenian trireme commanded by Themistocles... And for a report on the sea fighting, come in now, Larry Lesueur.
I'm still a bit groggy out here, just beginning to get back my sea legs after the gales and the heavy swells of the past few days. But the sea is comparatively calm now, and much has happened out here these last few days. Standing beside me here is the admiral of the Athenian fleet, Themistocles, son of Neocles. He, perhaps more than any other, has played a decisive role in the recent sea battles.
You do me too much honor.
I imagine, sir, that you would be understandably reluctant to give us an estimate of the strength of the Greek navy here off Artemisium.
Well, yes, I would, but I can say we only have a fraction of what the Persians have. However, before we're done, we expect that their advantage won't be quite so big.
You've been helped by the storms, haven't you, sir?
When the breeze first began to freshen 7 days ago, we offered up sacrifices to Boreas, god of the north wind, and secured our ships at their moorings. The barbarians lost 400 warships in that first storm. They're poor sailors. As soon as we learned what had happened, we offered new sacrifices in honor of Poseidon, the savior, and sailed full speed for the Artemisian coast, captured 15 more of their ships.
By the way, any danger, sir, of their sending ships around this island behind us so as to come at you from the rear?
Oh, they've thought of that already. Sent 200 triremes around the island 2 days ago. And every last one of them was smashed against the rocks in yesterday's storms. I don't think they'll risk being caught in those senseless narrows again.
Well, tell me, sir, just a speculative question, of course.
Yes.
But suppose Leonidas should decide to withdraw his troops, would you stay to fight the Persian fleet anyway?
Oh, no. Our only reason for being here is to protect this flank.
And as things are now, I'm confident
we can hold the narrows and protect our warriors ashore at Thermopylae.
Well, thank you, sir. That was Themistocles, son of Neocles, who's in command of the Athenian triremes of the Greek fleet here off Artemisium. I'm sorry I've had to cut this interview short, but we just had word that Bill Leonard wants the air from an important report from Thermopylae. Come in, Bill Leonard.
Events here at Thermopylae have taken another sudden and unexpected turn. Only a short time ago, a runner, spent and exhausted, arrived at Leonidas' camp. No word yet on what message the runner brought. The Spartan king has summoned an extraordinary meeting of his principal warriors. I can report that Leonidas is in a towering rage. Right now I can see him. He's shaking a clenched fist toward the east in the direction that runner came from. Impossible to say what Leonidas is deciding. He's got to do something, and fairly fast. For as I speak, I can see far down to the west the preparations for a Persian attack on... Just a moment, ladies and gentlemen. Just a moment.
Right,
that call means that Leonidas is summoning all his warriors around him. It seems clear he plans to speak to them. Now Leonidas is climbing upon a mound.
Tell the quarter and beat. Evil tidings. Word has just come that the Arcadians, whom I sent to intercept Tidanes and his persons in our rear, have fled.
We'll surrender!
Now Arcadian cowardice. Tidanes and his persons are at our backs.
We must flee for our lives!
Take a man from thieves. We will not flee!
Surrender! We are lost!
We'll never surrender!
I am sure that those who, like their king, were born and trained in Sparta, were never taught the meaning of the word surrender.
Sparta!
Men of Thebes! Yesterday and before that, we held the pass. Today, we advance! To march to the barbarian beyond the pass! Who marches with me to learn the color of the barbarian's blood? Who marches with me for Hellas and freedom?
The Spartans will stand and fight. Their Theban allies are marching off with them now, past Nicaea and on west, down toward where the pass narrows, and beyond, to meet the Persians head on. Leonidas and his men, they're not thinking of escape. They're moving over to the attack. They're advancing, hopeless as it may appear. They're advancing. Their only chance now would seem to be for those reinforcements to arrive. There's been no sign of them up to this moment. They've been expected now, you know, for the last 3 days. And if they don't show up now, it may be too late. I've just gotten word that Quincy Howe has important news for us from Athens. In the meantime, I'm going to shift this microphone up on the mountainside for a better view of the fighting. Come in, Quincy Howe.
Terrible, shattering news. Here in Athens, we have just learned that there are no reinforcements on their way to Thermopylae. I repeat, the vital reinforcements which were understood to be on their way to help Leonidas have not marched. Apparently, a secret decision has been made to hold the reinforcements here, keep them in reserve to fight the Persian when he reaches the isthmus south of Athens. An atmosphere of gloom and fatalism prevails here in Athens. Families are already packing their belongings, preparing to flee the invading Persian army. This is Quincy Howe returning you to Bill Leonard at Thermopylae.
We're now set up on higher ground, partway up the steep side of Mount Oeta. To the west, beyond where the pass narrows, the bloody fight has already begun. Our runners just come in with a report that Hydarnes' force of picked Persian troops is now in sight, and the vice is closing. I can hear the shouts of the Persians and their battle horns out beyond the pass. And there's a great throng of men there. It's just a surging mass. It's hard for me to pick out Greek from invader. Spartan phalanx seems to be holding and even advancing a bit. Beyond them, I can make out Persian officers, and they're whipping their conscript soldiers to drive them to the attack. There's a message I just got, just received from Larry Lesser on the flagship of Themistocles off Artemisium. The Greek captains of the fleet have decided to withdraw. Let me repeat that. The Greek fleet is withdrawing to the south in view of the news of impending disaster here at Thermopylae. The runners coming in every few moments now. What's that you said?
Leonidas is dead!
The report is that Leonidas, King Leonidas, is dead. That report is not official yet, but I'll try to get confirmation. The Spartan hoplites are still in tight formation down there. They're advancing step by step, but they are advancing. The air is thick with Persian arrows, and now, if that report was true, it was correct. I
and just make out the body of Leonidas lying out there just where the fighting is fiercest. The Spartans, using short swords now, advance 10, 20 more steps. Looks as though, yes, their advance is just to recover the body of their king, of Leonidas. Giving ground now. Good order, but they're retreating. To the left, beyond the marches, I see that the Thebans are standing alone. They're under Persian guard. The Thebans have surrendered. And the fighting's now moving back closer, back toward the Greek camp. Spartans retreating now. Back over the Phocian wall. And up to the mound where, a short time ago, Leonidas last spoke to them. See the tears on the faces of the two men who are dying his body. They're sobbing to lay his body down on the mound. The heroism of these Spartans fighting at odds of what must have been at least 1,000 to 1. The Persians are advancing now, pouring through the pass in waves, hordes of them, yelling, screaming in triumph. Pass of Thermopylae definitely lost. Fighting's almost over now, huh? Not many Spartans left. Pitiful few, still fighting around the body of Leonidas, fighting to protect their... This is just terrible to watch. Barehanded they're fighting now. The pass has been lost. Just a matter of moments now before every one of the 300 Spartans will have fallen to the last man. I'm watching a massacre. They're still fighting. But it's just the courage and desperation.
Target for ATBC. Leonidas and 300 Spartans die at the pass of Thermopylae, but give their countrymen the courage to fight on to victory over Xerxes and freedom for Greece. You are there.
You have been listening to the Battle of Thermopylae in the series You Are There. Today's program was written by Peter Lyon, directed by John Dietz, and produced by Sam Abelow. You Are There is a presentation of the CBS Documentary Unit under the supervision of Werner Michel. King Leonidas was played by Barry Kroger, King Xerxes by Arnold Moss, and Themistocles by Carl Frank. Others in the cast were Abby Lewis, Robert Dryden, and Guy Sorrell. You Are There is brought to you every fourth Sunday. The next broadcast will be heard 4 weeks from today at the same time over most of these same CBS stations. Next month,
September 1st, 1670, Old Bailey in London, the trial of William Penn, an embattled jury fight to establish its independence. You Are There.
Next Sunday at this time, most of these same CBS stations will bring you the reopening of the Main Street Music Hall, fine popular music, sung by Bill Tabbert, the young star of South Pacific, with Alfredo Antonini's orchestra. CBS also invites you to hear the fascinating new quiz program, We Take Your Word, every Sunday night on most of these same stations. We Take Your Word features Abe Burrows, John K.M. McCaffrey, and Lyman Bryson as regular members of its panel, plus famous guest stars. This is CBS, where you laugh at Jack Benny every Sunday night, the Columbia Broadcasting System.